Hello.
Hey Mike, Rick again from Huff and
Hey,
Visit.
Rick. Yeah, I got it. I just filled it out. I'll scan it and send it right back to you. But
Okay.
I think we're good to discuss if you want to get into it.
I would just have some high level questions, and let me try and go through them right now so I can try and give you a ballpark. Or at least I have all the information that I need to, before I take this forward with my internal team and be able to
Okay.
get back to you with better information. So I have the chart open right now, and
Okay.
I understand the first set of the sign-in process. I think the main verification on the sign-up, just to make sure it's just your employees signing up or people within your organization signing up, would be that they should have a valid business email that ends with @supplyforce.com, just like the one that's similar to one that you
So
have, right?
now, so this would be our members that would be signing up for this. So this could be a variety of different email domains. Like I said, we have about 150 different
Okay.
members. So yeah, we would need them to register, and the verification, I guess, would come back to us, and we would look up and say, okay, yes, this is somebody we know from one of our member companies, and we would approve it, and then they would have access to log in. So this will not be necessarily, other than from an admin perspective, to send out new notifications. This will be solely for the benefit of the members, not for internal Supply Force.
Okay, so just to try and paint a canvas in your head right now, if a member requests to sign up, they enter the information more like a form that they would fill out to sign up, and that gets submitted to your administrator on the application, who's going to either approve or deny the application based upon that information, right? And if they accept it, then it's going to send out an email to the member with their unique login credentials, including their username and their password, that they could now, next time when they come back to the application, that would be automatically enabled, and they would be able to log in with their credentials sent to their email.
Correct.
Right? All right, perfect. Now, all right, so that's simple. Now, going to the next steps, let's talk about the home screen, right? So, organizational chart, I'm assuming that's going to be static. It's going to be more like a static chart, similar to the one that we're looking at, plus contact information. So it's just going to be a whole bunch of information that's just going to be static, right? No interaction with the organization chart, correct?
No interaction, right? It'll only be updated when we have turnover to reflect it. But yes, it'll be relatively static.
So you should be able to update it, but there's no interaction for the user. Okay, got it.
Correct. Oh, it's pretty much all just read-only type stuff for them.
Of course, yeah, okay. And then comes the news, right? So news is similar to, we've done a couple similar applications. In fact, the last application we signed up, an enterprise application that's under development right now, and that's for a company called Lepos, if you must have heard the name. It's a pretty, it's a legacy company, Lepos Rent, and it does, it has a similar feature whereby you could roll out more like an update, or you could roll out a policy announcement, you could roll out good news or bad news, whatever that is. You could roll that out as an administrator through the application to a specific list of users that are more like rosters within the application. So for example, if you want to roll out a news for just the supply chain department, for example, right? You could just select supply chain. That's going to have a list of, say, 20, 30, 40 different members. And it's going to send an automatic push notification to them, and they will have the news available in their window. And then there's also an option where you could send this to everyone within the organization. In your case, all the members that are signed up on the application.
Perfect. Yep, that's exactly right.
Right, and then news is going to be, I'm guessing that's going to be text and some rich media as well, like videos or photos, images and stuff. Okay. So, all right. So that also means that on the back end, simultaneously on the flip side of the coin, the admin panel that's required, that would be required by you guys to manage the application, that's going to have more like a whiteboard that, where you'd be able to upload text, you'd be able to, put in inline pictures, put inline videos in there, and be able to put inline audio files in there. And once you roll that out, or once you publish that, it's going to go out like a newspaper chart. With images and videos in line, just more like a publication. All right?
Right. Yep.
Okay. Now, coming to the program rules, now, could you fill me in on what this is exactly?
Yeah, when a member signs up with us, they essentially sign a contract that says, here's what Supply Force is responsible for, here's what you're responsible for. Things like EDI, standards and formats, how you submit your orders, how quickly we are to respond. So all of the kind of the game rules in general of how we interact with the members. And that's also a pretty static thing, right? They're pretty much the same for everybody. One of the important things is that we're going through a point right now where we're updating our program rules, and so we really need to make sure that all the members have access to those and can read them anytime they want, right? So a lot of this information is available now, but it's in so many different places that even people that work at Supply Force don't know where it all is. So there's no
Right.
way that members can access this easily. But yeah, that pretty much spells out how we interact with one another.
Okay, so more like a static copy of the program rules document deposited into every person's account that signs up on the application, right?
Correct.
Okay, now I have an important question here, and that might, just change the whole dynamics of the application as well. So when you talk
Okay.
about the rosters, we'll just call them rosters for now, like a group of a specific group of members, like a subgroup of members, just like how we discussed it for the news, I guess, whereby you could roll out a certain news to a certain specific roster of members, right? Is that going to apply for all over the website? I mean, all over the application, for example, is the operating agreement or is the program rules or a similar document, is that different for each set of members, or does that
No.
stay static throughout?
No, those are the same for everybody.
Okay.
And really, the way that we might segregate this more realistically is we service five different verticals. So we have electrical, industrial, safety, pipe, valve and fitting, and power transmission. So there would be instances where we would want to notify all of the verticals or things that might be just specific to one of those five. So I know that you talked about kind of slicing and dicing it a little bit differently, but I think conceptually it's the same thing.
Okay, so yeah, I think we'll give you that capability on the back end admin panel as well, whereby you will be able to set up the rosters yourself. Like the first
Okay.
five, we could set them up for you. That's just a data fill job. We would do that for you, and then if you want to create more rosters within the application, more like a subset or a subtype of users, you would be able to do that as well based upon your changing needs in the future. My question
That's
to you
perfect.
is that should that apply? Should that roster system apply to just the news panel? Or should that apply to everything all over the apps, just in case in the future, for example, you want to supply a separate link to HubSpot to one of the member kind?
No, I see what you're saying. No, I think as I look through this, it's just the news. And then we would like to be able to, on an ad hoc basis, maybe a push notification to one user or to one company, if there was something specific for that one company. But other than that, being able to send a push and building out the rosters is great. We would love to have that capability ourselves, but I think that is only going to apply to the news area. As I look through this, everything else to me looks pretty static. There are the two links, one to HubSpot, one to our portal, but I think that's just a pointer. The web form is going to be what it is. That's not going to be dynamic. And the videos will just be something we would want to be able to upload to some section, on an ad hoc basis. So we might pull one down and put up a new one or something like that. But I think that would probably be specific to news then.
Okay, so training videos again is a one good example, right? So, for example, you said you have
Yeah, I was
five
just looking at.
rosters. Sorry?
Yeah, I was just looking at training videos again too. That may be vertical specific.
Right. So, I mean, in that case, what we could do is we could have categories on there. So, on the back end, it's going to be simple for you to, just specify a category that you want to place that video, say within. But on the front
Okay.
end, what I want to understand is that, are all kinds of users be able to access, say, all the five categories of training videos, which I don't think should be the case, or is it just going
No.
to be, the roster specific system just like news?
Just like roster specific would be fine.
Okay. So for two of these things, we'll say for now that we need the roster system. And then on top of that, For web forms. Now, the web forms, are they going to be static copies that you should be able to print out and be able to fill online, or is it going to be online fillable forms, like with editable fields that people should be able to fill online within the application and be able to submit directly to the admin?
Yeah, the second one. We definitely want them to be able to fill it out online and submit it through the app.
Okay. All right. And contains info specific to members, view account details, signed documents. Okay, it says signed documents. Is that the documents that they sign on the onboarding and stuff? I mean, are these copies that you or the admin deposits for each of these members based upon what they sign when they join?
Correct.
Okay. And contract fact sheets. So what is this now? A contract fact sheets? I mean, are they static sheets like PDFs deposited for each of these members?
Correct. Yep. And that'll just give them information like, here's your contacted supply force, here's your list of ship to locations, you know, that kind of just kind of a summary high level details that are important. Here's your locked in, you know, rebate rate, or here's the, you know, the commerce fee percentage, those kinds of things. So
Okay. And that changes for each of the members, right?
that would be unique to each member, yes.
Okay.
And we can upload copies.
All right, that makes sense. And then reports, could you fill me in on that as well? Simple
I
static
don't think
reports,
we're
yeah.
gonna. I don't think we're gonna go there with reports on this first iteration. Nor do I think we have any kind of a need for an invoice piece on this first iteration. As I was talking to our executive team about this before I called you, and the thought when they were brainstorming was, well, people could maybe retrieve their invoices here. But as we had a further discussion, it doesn't make any sense to do that. And nobody is going to get onto this and pay an invoice with a credit card or anything. There would be no PCI or payment involved at all.
Okay.
They get a monthly invoice and they do an ACH to us. So we said, let's just scrap that for now. Maybe on the, you know, the second go around, because we look at this like a minimum viable product, right? We want to get this rolled out and launched quickly, but then we want to iterate, you know, based on feedback for version two, version three, and, you know, and we really want to invest in the platform and use this ultimately, you know, to build, you know, more and more functionality into. So I would just say right now, I would skip the reports and the invoice piece.
Okay.
Bullet point number one, two, and five are probably what's important to us. And the TPO documentation, this is a clause in the contract that says, so when you sign up with us, your total cost of ownership will go down, i.e., you will save 4% year over year on your MRO supplies. Let's say, for example. Now,
Okay.
it's on the member to document and recognize savings, like, for example, let's get rid of all of your halogen light bulbs and replace them with LED. And what does that equate to in a year-over-year savings? And so that we can actually agree that we did save you that 4%, because if we don't, supply force has to pay a penalty. So this is an area where they would go in and just update, you know, their TCO documentation. So it would be kind of similar to the web forms in that they would like we would want them to be able to edit, you know, that document online. And that again would be specific to each user. So we could start out with a base set, you know, of docs, you know, one for each distributor out there, right, or each member out there. And they would just kind of keep appending to whatever that format was that we decided on made the most sense. So
Okay,
we would
so
say,
yeah.
okay. Yes, so we would say something like, you know, lighting project retrofit saved, you know, $10,000 a year, and they would agree that that was the case.
So, like, they sign on it, or how do they provide their confirmation?
But the thing of it right now is it's just something they fill into an Excel spreadsheet. So whether we pointed back to a data of source where these lived and they edited it, you know, in an Excel editor or something like that, or we decided to do something completely different, we could do that too. But there's no formal signatures like a DocuSign or anything going back and forth like that. It simply says, on this date, we did this and it saved that much money, and they check, you know, a cell on that field and say, yep.
Okay,
And that's
so
it.
do with this is, you know, we could, you know, have a functionality on the admin side whereby you could, you know, create a PDF or you could create a similar format that is non-editable and you could upload that for each of the users. Now, when you submit that, it's going to appear under their TCO section on the application on their side, on the user side, on the member side, and they simply have a button that says, I verify and I accept that this information is correct and I accept it. More like an accept button that has more like a clause on it that, kind of gives you an approval that yes, on this date, they accepted the TCO document we sent over.
That's perfect. Yep, that would be absolutely perfect.
Right, I think that's it. I mean, I think it sounds
Yep.
simple to me, to be honest with you, because we've done, much more complex enterprise applications. I'll show you some
Okay.
portfolio as well. So, you can look at that as well. One application we did similar to this, in fact, not similar, but an enterprise application was for Estee Lauder, which is one of the top
Yeah.
cosmetics brands, of course. You must have heard
They're
about it.
one of our clients. Yeah, Estee Lauder is one of our clients. So yeah, we know
Are
them
they?
well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so one of their subsidiaries, Clinique, like you would know, they've recently acquired them in 2017, I guess. And we work with Joanne Poulton. She's the, the VP training, the worldwide training, and we work with her to create a training application for all the consultants all over the USA that work under the Clinique contract, right? So, it
Okay.
has videos, it has games to help them learn about the, product knowledge and be able to test their knowledge before they go out to Clinique potential customers and be able to pitch the product to them. So that's something I'll send
Oh,
over to
very
you.
cool.
There are a couple other applications as well. There's some in the pipeline too, but we do have an extensive portfolio of enterprise applications we've done. Michael, how did you find us, by the way? Are you coming through a reference or how exactly did you find us?
I just researched several mobile application developers online, and I liked your guys' your website, and I liked the 500 plus applications, and some of the examples. So no, I kind of did it on my own.
Okay, all right. So you've just found us on the, you researched us on the internet, right?
Correct.
All right, sweet. So and then one more question, Michael, before I can, pull the trigger on you about the pricing and everything. How soon are you guys looking to get started on this? I mean, does this require board approval? Are you heading the decision on this? How is this going to work?
Yeah, we want to make a decision as soon as you can turn around a statement of work. Ultimately, in a perfect world, we have our national meeting in March, and we think that would be a great opportunity because we'll have several hundred members there to have them essentially walk up when they register, scan a QR code, and boom, they've got the application, and that would be the way we would like to launch it. We are aware that that's a tight timeline, and that it may or may not happen. So, all that being said, the message between myself and the executive team is we need to ideally make a decision, hopefully by the end of the week, and get something signed off and get moving. So we're really ready to kick it into gear as soon as we can, agree on a price and a timing and all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay, so why I asked you this question specifically is because there's two kinds of pricing that I was able to offer you, right? One is when if you were looking to start sometime say next month, then it would be a different pricing. But I think it's also mentioned on the website as well. It's our 8th business anniversary, right? So we've been in business for about 8 years, Hoff & Mezger, and the umbrella company has been in business for more than a decade now. So in fact, we also launched a new office in the New York, and we're kind of expanding our bandwidth right now. So we are offering better prices than what you get on a regular day with us, right? So that
Okay,
said,
great.
if this is a more like a decision that's not going to take more than a week or two, then I think I would be able to offer you the better kind of pricing that we're talking about. And I just sent you a link to our, publication as well. We just announced a new office in the New York. What state are you guys based in?
Our corporate headquarters is right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
I happen to be in Grand Junction, Colorado. We're pretty spread out. We're all remote as of the pandemic, but most of our people are around Philadelphia.
All right, sweet. So we have like 3 offices now in the USA with the third office now coming up, and then we have one office in Riyadh. in the UAE because we work in the UAE market as well. And then we have a back office in Pakistan as well. So that said, you also get like two kinds of costing options as well. One is where you strictly have an onshore team that's in the USA that's sitting in one of our three offices in Wyoming, California, or the New York office. Or if you want to, lower down the cost and you're not concerned about where the team is sitting, then we could also, give you a price for an offshore, a more like a hybrid kind of a development whereby, some of the team would be sitting in the USA and the other would be sitting in Pakistan. Rest assured, it's not going to, hinder any kind of communication. Neither is it going to cause any kind of time zone problems as well, because even the team in Pakistan and the team in Riyadh, they are, working in the US time zone as well. So, whenever they come together, whenever we, discuss the project, once we onboard you, it's going to be, a frequent communication process, right? So you will have all the team available at your disposal whenever you want to speak to them.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay. No, I look forward to next steps.
Perfect then. Michael, let me give you some idea on how we work. I'll try and make this quick. I know you have your next meeting coming up as well. Do you have a few minutes or do we have to cut this off here and then I get back to you by email?
I've got 5 minutes. I just can't be late for this one. It's with the executive group again.
All right, okay. So, well, I think in that case, I'd have to get back to you about the cost via email, but let's take this time to understand how we work, right? So we strictly work for hire. So there's nothing like, we don't charge you any kind of royalties. We don't take any kind of partnerships within your project or within your enterprise, of course. We strictly work for hire. You hire us, we get the job done, and that's at a one-time remuneration for the developers, the designers, and whoever's working on your project. Now, that said, there's no recurring fee. There's no monthly or yearly payments, in terms of development that you're obliged towards. You pay a one-time fee, you get a one-time development done, and it's a collaborative process whereby, when we initiate the process, the team comes together on a quick kickoff meeting with you after, conducting an internal kickoff whereby they understand the project, they understand the requirements, and then they set a meeting with you in the first week of onboarding whereby they discuss your expectations and how what your vision is and what we should keep in mind when we pursue the tech stack and the frameworks and everything, right? Now that's when the tech stack, the framework and everything is decided, what database to use, what technology to use, what language to use. Everything is decided in the first week towards the onboarding. And then once everything has been, set in stone and we have a clear scope of project, that's when we start the execution. Now the first step in execution is actually the second D in our process that's called design, whereby we, first of all, we do the wireframing. And along with that, we give you a couple of mood board options, right? Mood board as in, two different kinds of color schemes and two different kinds of icon sets and a whole look and feel that you get to choose from. Now, when you tell me, Rick, option A is good to go with, that's when we start the UI and the UX process for all the screens within the application, all major and all minor screens are designed. Static screens are designed just to show you how the application is going to look from one end to the other, right? Now, during this time, you're free to give us as much feedback as possible. You do get unlimited revisions with us as well, so there's no cap on, how many feedbacks you can advise and how many feedbacks we're going to implement. So anyway, so once you approve the UI and the UX board, once we show you all the screens, you give your revisions, we do them, you approve them, and once we've locked down the design, that's when we move towards the development phase. Now, development is divided into two parts. It's going to be alpha and beta, right? So alpha is where we do the non-functional development, whereby, the navigation and everything is sorted out, and you get a build as an outcome. You get a build that you can download on your phone, even your teams that can, download them on the phone, and you can give us a review on how that looks, right? So once the non-functional development is approved by you, that's when we get to the beta phase, whereby we build the brain or we build the nucleus of the application, i.e., we do the functional development of the application in the beta phase.
Got
Right?
it. Okay. Yep.
Right now, that when that's done, by that time, the development of the app is completed, and we head on towards the testing phase, whereby we have, very specific protocols for testing, the IAT, the UAT. We do regression testing, we do load testing. So we have a few protocols in place just to make sure the app, when it goes out, it has no bugs, it has no errors in it. There are no roadblocks. And once you finally approve the project and once you sign off, that's when we help you launch the applications on the app stores, both the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store as well. That said, my question to you is, do you want to publish the applications on the app stores? Because I don't see the need to do that. And if you don't want to, then that's going to save you some costs as well.
I think at this point, the feedback I'm getting is we do want to get them published there.
Okay, so you don't think, you know, an offline link to the application to download the build on the phones with your members is going to work? You want to have it on the app stores, right?
That's the feedback that I've gotten so far. Let's assume that's the case. I, like you, think that it's probably not necessary, but there's those out there that feel that we want to make it as easily accessible as possible, and we don't want anyone to have any kind of, you know, issues with devices, mobile device management, anything like that, where you gotta, you know, get it from a source that's other than, you know, Play Store or whatever.
Okay.
So I think we do want to do that.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. So I think I'm clear on the scope. What we'll do from here is I'll submit to you more like a project roadmap. That's the next thing you can expect from my side when I send you the email. In fact, today I'll send you more like an interim minutes of the meeting, whereby I list down what we discussed today, more like a brief snapshot of it, along with some cost and timeline estimates. So you can look at it, you can tell me whether that's good to go or not, or whether you can work in that range with us or not. Once you approve that, then I'll go ahead and prepare a detailed project roadmap that's going to have more like an LOE, a complete level of effort on what needs to be done on the application, right? Before we go ahead and you sign the document and we get you on board with a formal agreement or a formal contract. Sounds fair?
Yeah, that'll sound great. Yeah.
Right, Michael. So that's it. I think it's going to be simple. It's not, you know, the most complex application we have done, and you'd realize that when we send over the portfolio as well. That's going to come in the next email that I send out to you. Anything else that you need from my side just to do your due diligence and make sure, you know, you're working with the right company?
No, I think that'll do it for now.
All right, perfect. Then I'll head out to, you know, start typing the email for you, and I'll let you go for now. I know you have your meeting coming up as well, so you just keep an eye out on your email. And this should be M. Sullivan, that's your last name, at supplyforce.com, right?
That's correct.
I've got it. Okay, perfect. So, Michael, I'll let you go for now. You enjoy the evening, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, man. Enjoy. Bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.